Hey Trailblazers and Tarmac Tacklers, welcome back to the Maximum Mileage Running Podcast. It's the first one of 2024. I am your host, Nick Hancock, USCA and UK Athletics Qualified Coach, and I'm here with...
Faye Johnson, also UK Athletics Qualified Coach and Level 4 Personal Trainer.
Yeah, and it is the first one of 2024, and delighted to be back. We had some great feedback from the show last year, and I have been getting messages from people saying, "Are you bringing it back?" And we're back.
Yeah,
better, bigger. Well, hopefully bigger than ever. You know, it was just amazing to see how many people were listening to it last year. Kind of blew my mind how, you know, I only started it really to host the hot seats, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because our athletes were saying, oh, you know, watching them back on the Facebook group is nice, but I'd actually quite like to listen to it when I'm on my run. I was like, okay, well, I'll see if I can put it into a podcast format. And here we go. Accidentally ended up with thousands of people listening, which was mind-blowing. And yeah, people have been asking to bring it back. So
there's been a lot of, I've had a lot of messages from people listening over the Christmas period. And just really enjoying it, and starting from the beginning, so they've like done a binge basically on all the episodes. So
it's been mad, even though we've been, you know, we've had a few weeks off over the Christmas period, because I get an email from whatever the hosting thing is I use, saying, you know, 156 people downloaded your podcast this week. It's like, oh, we're not even recording new ones at the moment, so that's incredible. Anyway, how are you, Faye?
I'm all right, thank you. I am good. I have just about warmed up from this morning. It was -5 this morning. I know other places are colder, but it was Baltic, really cold. I'm good. I'm feeling quite positive this January, to be fair. It's, you know, what was it? Monday was meant to be Blue Monday or something. Can they say it's the most depressing day of the year? And I was like, actually, it's pretty good. So, yes.
I quite like Mondays because that's the day I check in with all my athletes. So I look forward to Mondays now.
Yeah. Mondays are different now.
Yeah. Good. How's your training going? What have you got going on?
Yeah, good. I am actually still not 100% sure what I'm going to do later in the year. I've got a couple of shorter races early on. So, a 7-mile race next month, February, which is a new version of Winter Trail at Croix de Brennan. So it's a new thing. So 7 miles of like single track forest running, which should be really fun. And then a local trail half marathon in March. And then I'm not really sure from then on, to be honest. I have actually entered, I've got a waiting list place for Man versus Horse. Now, I haven't done that race since 2019 when I won it. And I said I would never go back. And then the entries opened, I think it was on the 8th of January. And I thought, why not? So I'm on the waiting list. I'm like 5th on the waiting list. And the chances are someone will back out. So that's in June. But that's about it at the moment. But I'm quite enjoying shorter stuff. I don't, you know, I'm not missing marathon training.
No, I know you you felt like you needed a break, which, you know, is totally fine. Like, sometimes it's good to just have a little break and just run for the fun of it. And, you know, it should always be fun anyway. But, you know, when you are constantly focusing on performance, it can get a little bit old.
Yeah, so, and it's just nice to look at different races and try other stuff. So, yeah.
I am trying to convince you now to come and do one of the races I'm doing.
I think that might be quite nice. It's my birthday weekend, and I think that's a nice way to spend. So I probably will do that.
Yeah, because we ran the route together last year, didn't we? Just as a bit of a fun pre-recce that, because I did the 40-mile version of Limitless Trails, really good outfit. In and around the Wales, South Wales area, that do some cracking races. I did Beast of the Beacons 40 miles, which is two loops, but you go out one way and then you come back come back the other way. And we did that loop.
Yes.
And it was delightful. And it was a good confidence booster for you, because it was kind of that, yeah. It was that moment like, oh my God, I think I might actually be back from long COVID. Because you'd always had that in your mind, didn't you, until then?
Absolutely. And so that was good.
Really well that day.
Yeah. It was fun.
So I think you should race it this year.
Why not? We'll see.
Yes. Cool.
So, Nick, how are you? And please share with us your latest news.
I'll share the good news, because it's, for the people who have listened to the show for a while will know that I have some challenges going on with my wife's health. And she told me, do you know what she told me?
No.
She's listened to every episode of the podcast.
She's not.
I didn't think she would have listened to it, because she has pretty much no interest in running at all. So when she said, oh, I finished listening to your podcast, I was like, what?
You've listened? Oh, so now, I love that.
So now I need to be careful what I say. but yeah, we did have some shit news literally a few days before Christmas that her cancer in her brain is started to show that it's maybe coming back. So she's on a new drug now. But the last few weeks have been pretty good, actually. She's in terms of physically, she seems amazing. Like, you know, the new drug isn't kicking her ass like the other drug was. She was starting to get quite tired and a little bit feeling sick all the time. So yeah, we stay positive, and we've got some great things planned for this year. Bit good news. I know, you know, we have been critical of UTMB on the show. We have had our thoughts on some of the things going on with it, but do you know what? With everything I've got going on in my life at the moment, for us, I got into CCC, the 100K at UTMB weekend, which, whether you like UTMB or not, I don't really care, because it's going to be an amazing family adventure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the only thing I'm sort of looking at the moment. You know, if all you've got to worry about in your life is worrying about UTMB being sponsored by Dacia, then you're probably doing quite well.
And I will confess, peeps, I will confess, I drive a Dacia.
You
so,
do.
You know.
You have had since before.
Oh, God, yeah. I've had it a while before they, you know, agreed to their partnership. But, yeah.
we've got that. I have quite an exciting year of racing going on. I've got a secret race in 2 weeks that I'm keeping a secret, because I've just kind of signed up to it at the last minute.
Oh, dear.
I've done Brecon to Cardiff twice in the past, 2020, 2022. I was ninth and fourth, respectively. Both years were biblical storms. And now 2 years on, the trend continues. We seem to be in the midst of, because another storm is coming. So I'd be surprised if it's not going to be biblical again. But this time I've signed up to the new version of the course, where instead of it going right down the Taff Trail all the way to Cardiff, it goes up and over Penavan, Cribbin, Fanny Big, which everybody laughs at. Can't help but laugh at the name Fanny Big. And then it comes down back onto the Taff Trail and then goes back out into kind of the Abernant Forest, which I ran some of the other day. Some challenging climbs, but very runnable downhills. So I've got that in a couple of weeks, just because I thought, fuck it, why not? I've got Beast of the Blacks, Beast of the Beacons, both doing the 20 milers as kind of tune-up races. I'm going to see how I get on at Wokingham Half. Probably not going to run that particularly hard.
When is that again, Nick?
That's in a month's time, that is. So that's it's 3 weeks after Brecon to Cardiff. So I'm probably not going to be running that particularly hard and fast. And then I've got UTS 100K.
Oh, yes.
Lakeland 50 and CCC, all in the space of May, July, August. So super excited about all of that. That's some good racing to do, some prestigious races in terms of their stature, and really looking forward to Lakeland, actually. And as I say, they kind of come with some good family adventures. We'll take the camper van and make some memories as well.
So, absolutely.
And on the subject of weather, Yes, it was -5 this morning, and I put on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
I became one of those ice bath wankers and put a video of me getting in the ice bath. But I had to this morning because it was like a 1-inch thick layer of ice on it. And it was very nice. And it's amazing how many people like watching videos of people getting in ice baths. Like, I don't get
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Cool. So, I've been quite enjoying the ice bath, actually. And before anybody goes, what is he getting in the ice bath for? For me, like, I know full well that the science around ice baths is a bit sketchy. Does it benefit recovery? Does it hamper adaptations? Maybe yes, no, don't know. Nobody really cares. But what it does for me, particularly with things going on in our personal life, is it's 3 or 4 minutes in the morning where I have to empty my mind and just concentrate on breathing, which massively helps my anxiety, which
absolutely,
quite honestly, has been ferocious recently. Ferocious.
Anything you can do to help that is worth doing, whatever, whatever the science is,
Yeah, exactly. So
I came back from my run and I got in a hot bath. So I did the complete opposite. So I got in a hot bath with Epsom salts and loved it. Because who doesn't love a weekday bath?
But the thing is, though, is that actually we are pretty sure that the evidence of getting into a warm bath helps with recovery because it helps with blood flow. It opens up arteries and capillaries and all that kind of stuff and gets more blood circulating around. Still debatable about the Epsom salt thing, but
just smells nice.
Yeah.
And it makes it makes your skin baby soft. So,
There you go. I wanted to just call out some of the lovely people that leave us nice reviews because it's always nice to get reviews and I'd never really looked at them before. So I've decided that if anybody wants to leave us a lovely 5-star review, I'll read them out on the podcast. So here we go. This one was from Chris, 5-star, real podcast for real runners. Thank you, Chris. A great podcast that is aimed at real runners discussing real and relative issues along the way. Well worth a listen with a thumbs up and runner emoji. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, that was kind of part of the point. Whilst I have had, we've chatted with the likes of Beth Pascal and Holly Stables, although Holly's about as real as you can get, even as, she would. Yeah, we would class her as elite. We're going to listen to Andy talking in a bit. Andy Grant, who is one of my runners, he's been with me for a couple of years, and he's about as real as it gets. His story is fantastic. His mindset around how he's dealt with weight loss and weight gain and some of the troubles that kind of come with that is quite inspirational. So, looking forward to everybody listening to him after we're done jibber jabbering. thank you, Chris. Really appreciate that review. Coaching tip of the week, Faye.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about the long run.
The long run, yes.
And, how it becomes quite this enigma in people's training. And it can be quite daunting. It can be, for some, quite exciting and great, but it carries a lot of emphasis and it's something that I think, and I've noticed with some of the people I coach, it doesn't benefit everybody for various different reasons, which we'll talk about. But I think, there's a lot to discuss around the long run.
I mean, it's something I've spoken about quite a few times, and it's actually covered in the USCA ultra running certification by Jason Koop, who wrote along with USCA wrote the course. And we've heard Camille Herron talking about it quite recently. She's a bone health scientist, and she comes at it from a bone health perspective, particularly for females. And it is easily, other than what should I eat before a run, it is easily the most common question I get asked what will the length of my longest run be, or how long should my longest run be for, you know, X race that I'm doing. And particularly in like the ultra marathon world, it's almost like it's been taken from the marathon world, where traditionally people will run up to 20, 22 miles, which is pretty much what I have my runners doing when they're doing a marathon. And it gets translated into, oh, well, if a marathon is 26 miles and I'm doing a 100 miler race, and if I was doing a marathon, it would be a 20 mile long run. Therefore, surely like my longest run for a 100 miler must be a, you know, 80 miles.
No, don't do it to yourself. No,
no, not at all. You know, there's good evidence that shows that we are, when we start going past that kind of 20, 22 mile-ish mark for most of us normal human beings, you know, we start to think about muscle breakdown, you know, the catabolic response from running. And actually, the benefit of doing the long, long, long run, you know, we're talking sort of 50K and upwards, is negated by the need to recover from it.
Absolutely, because I think sometimes it's forgotten. Not that I'm saying people approach long runs, you know, and not think much of them, but sometimes I think people have this expectation that, well, I have to go and do this long run, and then next week I'm straight, you know, I'm into another training week, when the impact of that long run on you physically and mentally needs time afterwards to recover from. So it's no, you know, it's no mean feat doing this, but you do always have to be mindful of, you know, how you recover from that long run and the impact that it has.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the thing with the kind of people that we work with, and you know, I would assume most of the people that are listening to this podcast, you know, I can't imagine Killian Jornet is listening, or Courtney DeWalter, or you never know. But you know, we can't be out doing, you know, 50 milers on a Sunday because we've got a 100 mile race coming up.
Exactly.
Then, you know, you go out and do a 50 mile run, and then you've got to look after the kids, because the kids are crawling all over you, and or you know, in my case, my wife wants to go shopping in town. I'm like, oh, I've just done a 50 mile run. I can't, I can barely walk. You know, so it just negates the benefits. But also, what about the rest of your week?
Yeah,
like certainly ultra marathon success, and even marathon success. And I've coached people to very successful marathons. I had a woman I was coaching last year called Alison, Alison Graham. She is a V60, never run a marathon in her life. She's a very good runner, but she's never run a marathon in her life. The longest run that we did for her tilt at Manchester Marathon was 14.5 miles. And she was second in the country, V60. She ran a 3:33.
Absolutely amazing.
Slightly faster. But the thing that we did was that, you know, first of all, she said, I just don't have the time to do the long runs. But also she was worried about, you know, a little bit of an older woman, worried about the need for recovery. And we just put more of the focus, and this is kind of where I'm going out with this, is focus more on training volume over time rather than being so focused on, oh, I must do a, you know, X amount long run 4 weeks before my race, because that isn't how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been having these exact conversations with a couple of my runners. One, time. They don't always have the time, and their plans and their work commitments can change. And also, they don't respond well to the long run. And they respond much better to consistency. And as you say, thinking about training load over a longer period and how we can build that up over time, rather than, as you say, putting all the eggs into that long run basket and then potentially it becoming quite a stressful event. Because, you know, it can then give you it could give you a bit of a confidence knock if it doesn't go well for whatever reason. And that's not going to do you any good for, you know, preparation for the race. So there's lots of factors to think about. And I think at the end of the day, people have lives, and as much as we might love running, we're all very aware that as you made the point of, we don't have the time to be, you know, going out for hours on, you know, one of 2 days off a week, or, you know, there's so many things to consider.
Yeah. For me, the biggest thing is that recovery part afterwards.
Yeah. You know,
some people might say, well, I do have 6, 7, 8, 10 hours to go and run, but, you know, what have you got the day and the day after that?
Probably got to go to work.
Yeah, you probably got to go to work. You got, you know, we got stuff going on. So, you know, there are some of the reasons why, you know, people get surprised when I say the longest run that you'll probably do, a training run, even for a 100-miler with me, is 22 miles, roughly.
Yeah.
Now, that will come with, okay, so you'll do that 22-miler, and then the next day it might be that we'll do a 15-miler, 18-miler, 12-miler, whatever it might be. So you get a little bit of that back-to-back, you know, benefit. But one of the best ways, I think, if, because, you know, there will be the people listening go, well, surely, you know, you can't go into something like a 100-miler having not done some sort of really long run, from some of the mental benefit that it gives you.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that. But I think one of the best ways to do that is, instead of out there on your own on a training run trying to slug out a 50-miler, for example, plan in a tune-up race where you are in a controlled environment where you've got, you know, potentials for crew, aid stations, all of that kind of stuff. So, and actually it's a planned event rather than just some random Sunday where you've got to, you know, explain to your other half that, you know, you've got to go out and do some crazy long run. You know, and you're in a race setting. I think that can be really beneficial.
Absolutely. It takes the pressure off you as well. Like you say, it's not fun if you've got to, it can be, but it's difficult to go out and run 22 miles on your own back. And, you know, like you say, to have a race setting gives you so many benefits and makes it far less stressful.
Hmm. I'm thinking, you know, if you did want to do, you know, if there was an athlete saying, oh, well, you know, I really feel like I should do, you know, a 50K, 40-mile long run, that's okay, but do that in a race setting. Do that in a more organized fashion, where, because you're not just going to be thinking about that time on feet, you're also going to be thinking, right, I'm going to recover properly after this race.
You absolutely
know, work with your coach on what your recovery protocol should be, so that, you know, when we do come to start training again, you know, in a few days' time, it's done in a controlled manner rather than just trying to squeeze in 40 miles as part of your long run.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the other side of it as well, preparing for that long run, because you're far more likely to prepare yourself on the days leading up to a race than you are a long run. I think sometimes, like I said, you become a little bit blasé about that long run. And it's like, oh, I've got to go out and do this. But if it's a race, you automatically think more about, you know, that those days leading up, like your fuel, your hydration, you know, you just think about it much more. And I think that's another good reason.
Yeah, 100%. So there you have it, folks. Our coaching tip for the week: stop focusing so much on the length of your longest run, because really it's inconsequential in the you know, the terms of your entire training over time. Because you think of it this way as well: 6 months worth of training.
Yeah.
Is it going to make that much difference if you do another 2 hours worth of running on a long run?
No.
Not really.
Think about the bigger picture. Always think about the bigger picture and the work you've done and the work you might have to come. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, so that's it. Before we get into the episode with Andy, just a quick shout out to our partners, Runderwear. I've been working with them now personally as an ambassador for the last 4 years, actually. In fact, it was 4 years this month. I've been wearing their stuff even way before that. So I you know, love Runderwear stuff. So, and to be fair, you had a bra fitting with them, didn't you?
I did. I've got a couple of their bras. They are fantastic. And funnily enough, I discovered, I think that was 6 months ago now, that my sports bra size was completely wrong. fair play, I'm bigger than I thought. Yeah. So I'm like, win. So that was exciting, but they are really good. And then I also have been using the anti-chafe longer shorts. And the reason being, just as a quick mention, I find I usually, when the weather's really cold, I do wear tights because it's just feels better. But the long anti-chafe short, I don't so much wear for the anti-chafe effect, but more for the keeping my top of my legs warmer, especially in the colder weather or the wet weather. But I cannot recommend those enough. They just fit like a dream. And I was never really a big fan of stuff like that before I tried those. So yeah, I would absolutely recommend those.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, not so this like sounds like, you know, we're doing some sponsored ad thing because we're not paid by
any of these companies
at all, by the way, anybody who's listening.
No.
But I like wearing underwear boxer shorts because they stop it from looking like a murder scene down there after a race.
Shout out to
Talk Energy as well, Talk Fitness. They've been keeping me fueled for a long time. You know, I always say you've got to be, you know, nutrition is very, very personal. So, you know, Talk might not work for everybody, but they certainly work for me. And I love the flavors, particularly the lemon drizzle gel. Yeah, I love them. Soulmate in Merthyr. I actually went there the other day and I saw Paul and I bought a pair of shoes in the shop.
It isn't
just a shop in little Merthyr in South Wales. They are online. So great little family business.
Yes.
Paul, the owner, is lovely. Very, very knowledgeable. Very, very helpful. And they didn't try and sell me support shoes, which I was delighted about.
No, never. They won't. Because they, yeah, absolutely. That absolutely fantastic shop run by an absolutely outstanding couple. And yeah, they're doing great things in the community. They've got a little mention. They've got a great social running group as well that meets on a Tuesday. That all started off the back of Mental Health Awareness Week last year. I worked with them to start that, and to like, you know, nearly a year on, and they sometimes got up to like 30, 40 people turning up on a Tuesday night. So nice. Amazing. So good for the town. So yeah.
Yeah. To start coffee, and I've been drinking my maybe fourth cup today. True Start Coffee, based in Bristol, lovely company, make excellent coffee that doesn't have some of the side effects that some people... You feel some of the side effects of drinking coffee sometimes, don't you?
Oh, something chronic. And this, with the True Start, and again, I discovered them. I kind of mentioned it to you, Nick, didn't I, when I found it? And yeah. I loved it because you don't get the nasty, jittery side effects. And I often drink their lower caffeinated coffee because it's enough for me. And I don't get that hideous crash that I get with some coffee. So, definitely recommend that.
Yeah. And then finally, Ugoku Projects. I actually coach Daryl, who owns Ugoku Projects. And for those of you watching on the video, these lovely hats that are hanging on my wall here, they make the best trail running hats. Fuck CL and all of those brands. Ugoku Projects. They are amazing. Thank you, Faye, showing them off as well. I didn't want that to sound like some big ad thing because we're not paid by any of these companies.
No.
We just like working with them. And it just so happens that they are very kind enough to give us some discounts. And if anybody is listening, wants to join the Maximum Mileage Running Podcast Facebook group. So if you just search Maximum Mileage Running Podcast on Facebook, join the group and you can avail some of the discounts with those lovely suppliers. So lovely, lovely companies. And with that, let's have a listen to Andy.
Absolutely.
Cheers, Faye.
Cheers, Nick. Bye.
Hello, Andy. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, Nick. How are you?
I'm right now. I've figured out what the hell I'm doing on this podcasting platform.
It's only taken us only 5 minutes. It's
not too bad. That's not too bad. For everybody listening, this is the first time I've used this podcasting platform. Normally, I've just recorded on Zoom in the past, but somebody recommended I upgrade my game. I said I was bringing a better podcast into 2024, so I thought I'd use a proper podcasting platform, but I've been sat here like a cow with a pitchfork trying to work out what to do. Anyway, how are you, Andy?
Yeah, really good. Thank you, Nick. Yeah, good. How have you been?
Yeah, good. It's 2024. You're the first guest on the Maximum Mileage Running podcast. And
honored.
Well, we've talked about this before getting you on, and you know, I wanted to get you on because you have quite a story about how you got into running, what it's done for you, kind of what you've done, you know, with your health in general, both physically and mentally. And I thought people need to hear this, really, because it's pretty awesome what you've done.
Thank you.
So tell us, what have you done?
How far back do we want to go? I suppose I should give a bit of a background. So, obviously, yeah, I'm what, 42 years old. When I was 15, I was actually diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome after having some type of virus. They never actually worked out what I had, but which really knocked my immune system and energy levels right down. I ended up missing more of my last year in high school than I actually was in high school, but somehow managed to still walk out with fairly decent GCSEs, which I'm quite pleased about. I then decided to take a year out, and I've always been quite a tennis player, so I've played tennis since I was about the age of four. But other than tennis, I didn't really do any other sports. I was never interested with running. I was always of the belief I was not a runner whatsoever. So that year out, I just was focused on my health really a little bit then, you know, building up my energy levels. And part of that was one of the things that the doctors suggested was trying to just do as much activity as I could when I could. So I played quite a bit of tennis, which gradually built up my fitness and energy levels again, and yeah, went off to college and university and sort of was fine for most of my life. I've always probably been a slightly heavier person than I would probably should be or want to be.
Because you're a big dude, like you're tall and
I'm just over 6 foot, so I'm 6 foot one. I'm quite wide built, so I'm quite broad in terms of upper body. My legs have always been, I used to cycle a lot, so I've always had fairly decent sized quads and calves, and probably playing tennis helped with that as well. I didn't really have any really real endurance fitness at all, probably. Got to the stage where, what was this, 2018, I think? I was probably at my definitely at the heaviest I've ever been. I was up to about 118 kg.
118.5.
Wow. So what was that, like 18 and a half stones, something like that. Yeah, so I was a big guy. There's pictures now that I look back when Doreen and I got married, and can't quite believe I was that big, really. My best mate basically said to me at the time, you need to do something, because like if you don't do something about it soon, who knows what's going to happen to you later in life. I suppose that was one comment. And then Doreena's my wife, by the way. And she said to me one night, I was, you know, cuddling her in bed. You had my arm over her back, and she literally turned around to me and said, can you take your arm off? It's too heavy. I struggle. I can't breathe properly. And I think that was the real wake up call that I really needed to do something about it. I started focusing more on what I was eating, focused much more on making sure I'm getting enough protein, that sort of stuff. Lots of healthy food, and, you know, little and often cutting out. I used to live on 2 to 3 liters of Coke a day, never drank water. I was always tired, even though I drank that much Coke and that amount of caffeine and amount of sugar, because it was full fat Coke as well.
You're probably on a cyclical sugar crash.
Yeah. So I was literally always shattered. And one of the things I was always told with, and it brings me back to the chronic fatigue a little bit, in terms of it's something apparently you never lose. So chronic fatigue syndrome is the same as ME. It's just like a new term for it. And so it's something you never really lose. It's always underlying. So you have to manage what you do. And I think I'd try to live off of Coke because it was the one way of sort of giving me a bit of a lift that I needed at times. But, you know, like, you know, I run my own garden maintenance company, so I'm a fairly active guy. I think it helps with a lot of the longer running stuff, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, strength work.
But yeah. But you know, I lived on rubbish, absolute rubbish. Like I wouldn't eat breakfast. I'd get up, have a cup of tea, get out the door, come 10 o'clock, crashing time, go and grab a Cornish pasty or something like that, you know, from service stations. Lunch would probably normally be like a sandwich with some crisps and more Coke, and mid-afternoon you'll want something sweet, so it'd end up be like a Danish pastry or something like that. And then dinner would be like pasta or something like that. And then my wife, being Romanian, she likes to feed, and when she first moved over here, she did not have an idea about portion control, so she would like put the whole of the pack of pasta in the and cook the whole thing of pasta. And you know, I was brought up to not want to waste food. So I would eat, and then like she would put on the same amount of food on her plate as mine. So then she'd end up putting her stuff on my plate and I would eat it. And yeah, just it's amazing how over a long period of time, how you can put on weight without really realizing you're putting on. Because you don't see it. You can't see it yourself.
No, it's so gradual, yeah. Isn't it?
And that's why, like, whenever you're, if you're ever doing anything where you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to do anything like that, taking photos and gradually seeing that, they're so much better than looking at scales, because scales only tell you one thing, but photos really tell you the true picture, because you can really see it. Because, you know, especially now with like working with you, Nick, you know, you're very into doing your strength training and weight training. So, you know, if you don't do a lot of that, you're going to start building a bit of muscle. And if you're losing muscle and fat, you may actually not lose a lot of weight on the scales, but your composition of your body can completely change. And, you know, these sort of things happen. And so I decided in 2018 to do that. So started losing weight. Still didn't run. Played a bit of tennis, still carried on playing tennis. Did a bit of HIIT workout, that sort of stuff to
What weight were you in 2018? What did you get to?
So 2018, I was 118 kg.
Oh,
so
that was when you were 118.
That was then. Yeah. And then by the end of the year, I'd got dropped down. I'd lost like 2 stone in a year. And then before I started running, I was down to my about 90 kg. So I'd lost like 4.5 stones, something like that.
So 118 down to 90.
90, yeah. Nice. A reasonable amount has gone back on in the last few months. I won't lie. I've got back up to about 104 kg at the moment. And we'll talk about, I think, the reasons why that is a bit later after we talk a bit more about running and bits and pieces. It's a bit of a more recent journey. So 2 years later, obviously we all know what happened in 2020. We won't mention it.
It is so weird. I still look back at that time and go, did we really have to stay at home? And we were only allowed to go out for a run for an hour a day. Not that I stuck to an hour, but
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? But that was a changing in my life, I think. You know, that's where everything changed for me in a lot of senses. Obviously, I had one turnaround in 2018, but really my next one, and where I suppose my true passion, I suppose, in life now feels like it is anyway, started really. My wife was always a keen runner. She always used to like to run. She used to do 5Ks quite regularly. Funny enough, she doesn't run anymore.
She's got to make time for all of your running.
Well, yeah, that's it. And she decided when we first went into lockdown
And that was all we were allowed to do, was go out for like half an hour, an hour's exercise. She was going to go out for a run. I was going to walk the dog with her, behind her. But the dog had different minds and decided she wanted to run with Darina. So I sort of ran after her. And yeah, managed, I think on that very first run, I managed about 4K, huffing and puffing and hating every moment of it. Yeah, I was quite pleased.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I getting up to 4K on the first one. I think I got to 0.4K when I did my first ever run.
But I absolutely hated it. While I was running it, I absolutely hated it. But then it was like afterwards, it's how I felt afterwards and the energy levels that I felt I had. And the difference I felt then, I was like, actually, this isn't too bad. And then a few days later, we went out, did my first 5K. Still hated it. Still was huffing and puffing. And then gradually took it from there. I think so. That was what, when did we go? And May time? Was that April, May? We put in lockdown. And then I ran my sort of like first
March.
I just gradually ran more.
March the 23rd. March the 23rd. Yeah. I think
my first actual run was about end of April, beginning of May of that year.
Yeah.
And then just gradually increased it, running up and down the canal. Here in Aylesbury. In September, I think I ran my first half marathon. And then...
As a distance or an actual...
As a distance. No, not as a race, as a distance. Yeah. Were we allowed to race in 2020?
I think at one point, Rishi Sunak was trying to get everybody pissed and eating pizzas, wasn't he? Were they eat out to help out, whatever it was.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, some
races started... happening in 2020, yeah. And then we all went back in lockdown for Christmas, didn't we?
Yeah. And one of my friends basically said to me, you're really enjoying this running. Why didn't you do the Brighton Marathon? So I signed up for that, which was in 2021. But it was in the September because they moved them, didn't they? They moved them all because of lockdowns and stuff. So they moved it to September. So I ran my first. Wasn't it? It was a hot one. Yeah. I had a mate with me who was a faster runner than me. And he actually, you know, the bit you did, wasn't Brighton your first one as well?
It was my first one. I don't know what it is. We all go, oh, yeah, I've done a 5K. Let's go and do the Brighton Marathon. Exactly the same. It was the day I did it as well.
And obviously they changed the route now. They've taken out the lovely industrial estate. But that was in there. My mate was coming around there and he collapsed from heat exhaustion. Luckily, right by the St. John's ambulance section that was there.
It was like Day of the Living Dead in the industrial estate when I did it. Literally, people like zombies trying to find water.
I've done it twice. Both times on speed bumps in that section, I've tweaked calves, and I think I tweaked my hamstring in there as well.
Yeah,
and it's horrible. Yeah, I'm pleased they changed it.
I turned my ankle quite early on, about 3 miles in. I mean, that didn't cause me any issues. It was the heat that killed me. But yeah, Brighton's a funny one. I wouldn't go back to do Brighton again. Personally, great one. Now you know it's run by London Marathon events, same people that do the London Marathon. It's a new route. It's more exciting. It's less hilly. You haven't got that soul-destroying mile 21 to 24, I think it is, in the industrial estate. There are no human beings in there.
No. It's miserable. It's not even nice to look at.
No, not at all. You can't see the beach, nothing.
No, it's not like when you're running out. Like that's the other bit that I find difficult. That run out all the way to, is it Westbourne? Where they've got the golf club and but you don't go that far. But that direction, isn't it?
Yeah.
You go up to, and there's that windmill and stuff like that. You run all the way. You're looking. You know you've got miles and miles to go, and then you know you've got to turn around and then come all the way down it. So,
For anybody listening, you don't have to do all that on the Brighton Marathon now, so don't be scared.
Oh, they scrapped all that, have they?
Yeah. There's none of that there now. It's a totally different route. It's much less hilly and annoying.
Huh. Well, That's nice, but I won't go back.
No,
we've got other things to do now.
We have, of course.
Yeah. So yes, I did that, and then I suppose I really quite enjoyed it. You know, I'm not fast. I'm not a fast runner particularly. But you know, like I think one thing that I would probably say that I'm okay at is the mental side of it, in terms of just pushing through when things get tough. You know, and I think Brighton was a good example of that. A bit like, you know, when I did my hamstring on that first one, it's my first longest run I've ever done. Got to that stage, you know, ran mile 20 when you hit that proverbial wall, and I think the hamstring went, the mindset went. I rang my wife, was on my head, on my thing, and I was like, I can't do this.
And I did exactly the same thing.
Said, just get it done.
Yeah, I did exactly the same thing.
Doesn't matter how long it takes, you just finish it.
Yeah, I don't like this. This is rubbish. I want to go home. She's like, you better get it. She was, Alison was 7 months pregnant at the time. She's like, you better get your fucking ass moving.
It pushed me through it. And I've got a lot to be grateful for her for, really, in terms of she's always there to support me on those long runs, which, you know, I think, as you probably know, you can't do a lot of this without having a very supportive partner at times, and very understanding partner as well.
Yeah. Do you know, if you don't mind, I'd like to stay on the subject of Darina, actually, because I'm sure you've learned some things from what she does in her day job, because she's a foot specialist, right?
Yeah. So she does. She does nails. So she does the manis, but nails, she's also actually specializes in nails. Yeah. So she specializes now in sort of feet work. And I have, you know, I'm sure we'll talk more about Race of the Stones that I did last year later. But I have a lot to be grateful for fixing my feet up after those. So basically she does, she helps look after people's feet who, and dare I say it, a lot of people do not look after their feet properly. I've seen.
More than us.
You let yourself get to that stage? Yeah.
No more than.
The cracking, the driving. No. You don't see that many black nails, I must admit. Not on normal people.
No. I think our reception went a little bit then, but I was going to say she patched you up after Race of the Stones. Have you learned any tips from her that you can pass on to the listeners?
Just more so in terms of obviously really looking after your feet. So keeping them dry as best you can. But also like in the day to day is like keeping them well moisturized. Don't let them get too dry, and don't let the skin get too hard. Especially like in one sense, like I sometimes argue that I think, you know, like I like a bit of callusing on my feet, like because I feel like they take a bit more of sort of battering. They can cope with it a bit more than being very, very soft. But you definitely, you know, and it's then things like making sure your footwear's right sizes. And as we know, like when you start running longer and longer, your feet swell up, or can do, as you get hotter. So it's important to have that space to expand into, because a lot of the people she deals with are people who have things like corns and calluses, really bad calluses on their toes, and the way their feet and the toes are growing in, and it's all about people not wearing the right size shoes. And you know, if we can have our feet, you know, you don't want your toes going over your other toes, and some people do because of the fact that they, you know, squeeze their feet into smaller shoes than they should be, or not wide enough feet shoes. Mm. So the big, yeah, the big thing is she'll every now and then, probably once every couple of months, she'll grind down my feet. She did it the other day, actually. Folks,
for everybody listening, I know this is all a bit gross, but blisters, issues with your feet, is one of the biggest causes of DNS in ultramarathons.
Yeah.
Blisters and GI issues. So whilst this is a bit of a gross thing, yeah, a lot of people don't like feet and talking about feet, but you've got to look after your feet. Like, you've got to look after them. People think, oh yeah, if you let that hard callus area keep it there, but actually what happens over time is that while you're running, the hard callus area rubs on the soft skin underneath and creates blisters underneath the callus, and it's actually worse.
And also, if the calluses get too big and too hard, it becomes very painful as well, on that as well. So it's making sure that it's getting the balance right. And, you know, like, it's part of the reason, I know, Nick, we talked about it when at the time when I did Race of the Stones, like, part of the reason why the last, I can't remember how far it was, but was my feet. I just got one massive blister on both my feet, right on the balls of my feet, which was absolute agony. And probably on another day, I could have easily just said, I'm not going to finish this. But I just, you know, it's like, as I said, it's one of those things. It's like, I don't care about the time, just get it done. Especially when you're doing your first one of a distance. My personal belief is, unless you're going to die, like, just try, if you can get it done, get it done. Because once you know you don't do it, you then also then have, you've got, you learn from it. And that, you know, Race of Stones is probably, I think I've learned more about myself and about what I need to do in the future when I do, you know, when I do that, you know, in terms of fueling, in terms of, I should have changed my socks, I should have changed shoes. You know, it was a bit biblical on that day a couple of times.
You did get a bit unlucky with the weather
last
year, because the weather had been pretty nice for quite a while.
Yeah.
You'd done all your training in the warm weather, and even on the day, the forecast was a little bit sketchy
as to what
was going to happen. And then it was like properly biblical, wasn't it?
So we're running for about an hour, and then literally thunder and lightning storm.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was seriously heavy rain as well. We've got a video that Darina's taken of her sitting in the car waiting for me to come to one of the passing points from her. And you can't see out. It's like literally just like,
I remember seeing that.
Coming down. And it was one of those things where like I got so wet so quickly. It's like, what's the fucking point of taking a waterproof out? I'm too wet now. So what's the point of putting it on? and so it just got to stage, you know, and I just got so wet and then dried out. And then I think just before, sort of when we got to, not the last checkpoint, probably the penultimate checkpoint or so, and it's just before it started getting properly dark, it literally rained, as you said, for about 3 hours, really, really heavy. Mm-hmm. And
I was thinking, obviously, it was just as you started to go into the night,
as well, nighttime, yeah. And that was when I started getting serious chafing on my back, which was incredibly painful from my bag. And you know, that's down to, I swear that's just down to just getting wet.
Usually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was so wet. And then obviously the movement of the bag with the t-shirt and stuff just chafed the back, and that became incredibly painful. And then the feet. And so hindsight would be change shoes, change socks, change t-shirt, put a waterproof jacket on much quicker. and, you know, so it's
it was still quite warm though, wasn't it, that day?
It wasn't cold until the evening when it, you know, I think I got so wet, you can't, and tired by that stage, obviously. that, you know, your body temperature drops, whatever, anyway, so it's harder to stay warm. And that's when you start risking the things like hypothermia, which I've had before. So in days gone by. So,
it's exactly that kind of stuff that I always say. Training runs, sometimes they just can't teach you this stuff. I've learned from my own personal running. I've learned so much from the two DNFs I've had, and, you know, all the other races I've done where, you know, you make those mistakes. And that's the thing with ultra running. It's very different to marathon running, where it's pretty much all about get to the finish line pretty much as quickly as you possibly can. You know, it's more about running economy, VO2 max, and all that kind of stuff. Whereas ultra running is, it's more about limiting the amount of mistakes that you make.
Yeah.
And when you do make those mistakes, next time you go out there, you learn from them. You really do. They are such big lessons. And you're going back for another crack at Race of the Stones, aren't you?
Race of the Stones, yeah. And I'm glad I'm for punishment. I'm doing Race of the Kings. Race of the Kings? That is Race of the Kings, isn't it? Yeah, they got rid of the other one. Race of the Kings the month before.
Yeah. So Andy's really testing my coaching ability this year by doing two 100Ks in the space of a month.
4 weeks, isn't it?
And the Manchester Marathon.
And Manchester, yeah. Yeah, which I'm looking forward to. It's been a couple of years since I've run a marathon, so it's going to be you've run marathons within an ultra marathon, obviously, but it's like, you know, completely different thing, isn't it?
So different sport.
It's been interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Not necessarily looking forward to the training.
Well, the good thing with you, Andy, and this is the thing I quite like about your season this year, is that, yes, we've got a road marathon to focus on. And if you were doing a pure road marathon block, yes, we'd need you out on the road, hitting the pavement. But you've also got two trail 100Ks after that as well. So we're going to mix your training up. The good news is that there's some good science out quite recently that shows that trail running is very good, very beneficial for road running. So, you know, it's not going to impair your, I don't think it's going to impair your performance at all. And in fact, I think it's going to help you, because trail running strengthens you up in different ways and actually protects you a little bit as well.
I would sort of agree with that, because at the end of the day, I always find, you know, if you've done a bit of running on trails for a while, and then that first run back on the road, you feel so much quicker.
You do. Trail running is
so much easier in one sense. So I'm looking forward to it in a lot of senses. Not sure what's going to happen second half of the year yet, but we're ready until July.
And what is it we're targeting for Manchester?
Sub 4. I'd like to hit a sub 4. Not worry about any other time. But if I don't hit it, I'm not one of those people that are like, I have to do it. You know, it's like, as I said, like at the end of the day, part of the running is about, for a lot of the running for me is just the experience of running and doing it. And how it makes me feel.
Having said that, though, and you, just on that point, actually, yeah, there's a few of us in the group that say, you know, we all still run for our minds. It just so happens that our asses follow. But based on you've done a couple of races before Christmas, and based on the times that you did, even based off those, you're looking in good 4-hour shape. As long as you stop catching COVID and getting ill.
And I think, you know, I along suppose with everybody go else. Back, well, yeah, we'll go back a little bit in terms of, you know, that's part of, I think, part of the reason why I put on so much weight over the last 6 months. Basically, it's felt like since September.
Yeah.
I had like ankle injury. I injured my ankle at work. That took me out for a few weeks. Then I got sick at the end of October. which took me out for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was a long time.
And I must admit, it was that, you know, I haven't been ill. Had COVID properly once 2 years ago. And then I haven't been ill since. And then that was my first illness for a long time. And then to have COVID, then get COVID again, like just over Christmas, I think it affected me mentally as well, because it brings back memories of you know, teenage times with chronic fatigue and my energy levels the way I was, and I think it's amazing how your mind works and it starts to affect you in different ways. And I think, you know, the one thing I find with running, it's really helped to clear my mind. And it's why I quite like it, and why I quite like to run without anything in my ears either. So I can actually just listen to myself and have conversations with myself, really. Less so on the speed work those days. I need something to get me going.
Yeah, those days you're just running up and down a hill going, Nick, you fucker.
Yeah. Yeah. But on the days when I'm on a long run, like, I won't listen to anything. I just like literally listen to myself and have those conversations with myself. And I think, needed a couple of the conversations, because I've sort of over the last few months has really put on weight, because I've probably been eating. I've been definitely comfort eating, winter as well, obviously. It's tough, when you haven't been ill for so long, and then you get two quite big, what I would classify as fairly serious illnesses in my mind. Normally I'll shake off something within, a cold within a couple of days, but these are really, and even now, I'm still a little bit chesty and a little bit things, which, I'm looking at my long runs, like my 10 miles that I did on Saturday, and I go, like the last 4 miles, I just absolutely hated. I felt like I had nothing left in my lungs at all. You go, and it's amazing how quickly your fitness, when it affects you like that, it affects your fitness. It feels like it affects your fitness. I know it builds back up,
but as you've learned from, when you did your ankle at work, not in training, at work.
Yeah.
That first illness you got, you bounced back quickly from both of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quickly you were back up to going, do you know what? That felt good. I felt like.
Yeah. And so, I think even now, thinking about like the fact, what are we, it's only 2 weeks back into running, 2-3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks back running. Did a 10 miler and a 6 miler yesterday, and, hitting the mileage again. And yes, I found it hard. And yes, my heart rate, I'm fit. I'm not as running as an easy pace. My pace has dropped a bit, but I'm getting them done. and sometimes it's, and I'm trying to keep my heart rate down, which is obviously going to help build that base fitness back up, which is
keep your easy runs easy. You know my drill.
Yes, you did tell me off at the beginning,
as I do everybody, Andy.
Yeah.
99% of people that come to me, even really experienced runners, and if he's listening, Simon, who I coach, he's a world level triathlete. He's doing Arc of Attrition in 2 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
I had to say to him, "You're not going to do Arc of Attrition at 7 minute mile pace. You need to slow down."
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's everybody.
No, it's keeping that. It's like I was chatting to my mate today, and like I was showing him my heart rate monitor for yesterday, everything in green, which is like your zone two sort of thing. And he was like, I could just run for all day at that. And that's the whole point of easy runs, right? You should be able to just run and run and run and be comfortable. Have I lost you again?
Yeah, no, I know we went a bit sketchy then, but you were saying that sort of that zone one, zone two is, it's kind of what I would call your all day pace. Like you could run all day. Yeah. Not pace.
Yeah, sorry. And that's exactly what my mate said.
Yeah, let me correct myself there, because I always say easy is not a pace, it's an effort. Yeah, because one day that easy effort might mean a 10-minute mile. That effort, another day, yeah, it might be a 12-minute mile. So, yeah, I need to go by effort. But, yeah, I've seen what you've been posting on your Instagram recently. Yeah, with your food, you're back to, you know, back to eating super healthy and doing all the right things. You know,
back to eating too healthy. Back, yeah, weight's dropping off again. Lost about a kilo this week, past week, which is I'm pleased about. That's one thing when you're big. If you start eating healthily. Yeah, exactly. So I'm still using my gels, still eating properly. So like when I go out for a long run beforehand, I don't believe in cutting. And yeah, I'm not one of those people who go low carb. You know, when you're doing what we do, you know, it's fine. If you don't do anything, you're not active, fine. Cut out some of your starchy carbs because you're not probably being active enough as it is. But, you know, and just focus on getting loads of fruit and veg into you, you know, and your protein. But if you're doing stuff like we do, where you're doing, you know, long endurance, high intensity, if you're doing your speed work and hill work, you need to eat carbs. And I think definitely one of my go-to things is, this is something I think you put on your thing, you know, before the run. One of the things like peanut butter and jelly with and a bagel is a great thing to have as before you run. I love it. That's what I do.
That's one of my go-tos for a long run. For a hard effort, if it's early in the morning, I'll have a peanut butter and jam bagel. Do you know what I found in the middle aisle of Aldi's? Roses lime jam. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love it. Now it's because it's Aldi, right? So they probably bring back the old that you can't find anywhere.
Yeah.
I have a wife though that makes her own jam. So
nice.
She likes to make those sort of things. So
well, being a professional gardener, you're very green thumbed, aren't you? And you've got your own.
We've got allotment
of stuff. Nice,
yeah. So all the veg at Christmas was off the allotment, which was lovely. It tastes so much better as well.
Yeah, good. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
They say that Coca-Cola is the champagne for ultra runners. Does that mean, are you so sick of it now after all those years of necking it that you wouldn't go near it now on an ultra?
No, funny enough, I'm not. I still drink it. I still will have it. I'm generally, if I have it now, I'll have one every now and then. It's always Coke Zero. But if obviously I run, to be honest, it's not really. I think I've had it once. I think I had it once when I on Race to the Stones. Yeah. And the thing is, they have it flat. And I don't like flat Coke.
Well, yeah, it's got to be flat.
I know it's got to be flat, but it doesn't taste the same. And also, it depends on the make.
Yeah, at UTS. Ultra Trail Snowdonia, they didn't have flat Coke. They forgot to flatten it. So everybody was like, oh, I can't drink it. It's really fizzy. I was just gulping it down. People were looking at me like I was insane, but it didn't bother me.
To be honest, I'm pretty much the same. I don't like, I can drink fizzy in the middle of a run or whatever. Like, after a run, if I need a lift up, I will have a Coke or whatever. And just, I think it's just the sweetness sometimes. You know, you crave that sort of sweetness, even with the like having the zero, so you cut out the calories and that malarkey. But you know, now to be honest, my go-to is always water. I live on water now. Water and tea.
Water and tea.
Water and tea. I still need my builder's tea.
Good. Andy, before we start to wrap up, because an amazing kind of story going from, you know, having chronic fatigue syndrome, being diagnosed with that when you were younger, you know, losing all that weight. I know you've put a little bit back on now, but you know what? It is early January. A lot of that is going to just be holiday weight and it'll come flying off because it's water weight.
Yeah.
You know, you're in no state of panic at all. You've been out. You've been flown out to places with Herbalife, because, you know, whilst I must admit the Herbalife thing probably isn't for me, but it's worked for you. So, you know, what did you do with those guys?
So Herbalife was the reason why I lost all my weight. I got involved because of my best mate. I've known since we were 10 years old. He was always a big guy, when we were younger, he was like a stick insect. But then when he went to university, he found beer.
Right.
And, you know, he ended up becoming quite a big guy. He got to the stage where he was training 6 days a week in the gym to then spend 3 days a week in the pub. And he was going to the gym just to maintain a okay weight. Mm. But, you know, he got involved. He got introduced to the product. He lost some weight. And he said to me, and like I said to you earlier, he said to me, like, mate, you need to do something about it, because otherwise, you know, who knows where you're going to be. And that with Darina's comment sort of hit home. And yeah, so gave it a go. And it's literally like, you know, I was quite skeptical. You know, I don't believe in shake diets. But it really isn't a shake diet. You know, yes, you have a shake for breakfast, but it's, you know, who doesn't most of the days now these days? A lot of people have a smoothie of some form, whether they make it themselves or whether they
a smoothie most mornings,
and whether you're using, you know, a protein mix, or whether you make it yourself with a whole load of fruit and veg and stuff, and you have no idea what calories are in there, what vitamins and minerals and everything in there. And to be honest, it can take you ages and cost you a whole load of money. So it's just quick and easy. It got me involved in that, really. And then went on to help my sister lose some weight and quite a few friends and family. And yeah, I've been doing that, really, and sort of do it on and off depending on how I feel. You know, ultimately, I'd love to be helping more and more people, because I do love the products. I think the product's very good. There's a lot of other products out on the market, you know, and they don't cover everything. By the way,
folks, this is not some advert for Herbalife. I have to interject, because you didn't lose all that weight because of Herbalife. You lost all that because of you.
Yeah.
It just so happened that Herbalife was one of the tools that you used.
Exactly.
Don't do yourself a disservice, Andy.
No. But I think what it was about it was it just enabled me, and the way the support that I got from my coach, in terms of meal planning and the accountability. It's a bit like, you know, using you, Nick. You know, it's having that accountability, having someone that knows what they're doing, where to put training in. Make sure you're following what you're trying to do and your goals, and help you reach your goals, really. And that was very much what, you know, that's where, you know, there are loads of companies out there. There's loads of people that help, you know, all these sort of things.
Yeah.
But it's that what helped me was having that accountability. And I think a lot of the time, and that's the difference between if you're trying to lose weight and you're going and buying something like SlimFast, for instance, off of the shelves. You're going and buying that, and you go, well, I'm just going to drink this. That's not going to give you. It's the same way as, like, I have a shake for breakfast, but then the rest of the day, I still have to make sure I'm eating the right food. Because if I'm not, you still eat too many calories. At the end of the day, to lose weight, you need to eat less calories, right? Then you need to burn more calories than you're consuming. Herbalife. Funny enough, I'm going to Birmingham in a couple of weeks. With them convention, and there is a possibility, I haven't told you about this yet, Nick, but I will tell you now, but there's a possibility I may be running, I think, 60 miles with them in September time, because we're having, there's a big, yeah, is it? But that's in September. We've got plenty of
time. As long as you're like, oh, that's going to be like in May. Oh, God.
Next week. Yeah, we've got a bit of time. And I think it's going to be fairly easy because they're talking about doing it over 4 days. I was like, oh, we could run London because we're having a big convention in Manchester.
You'd be like, no, I'm going to do it now.
I was like, no, why can't we just do it like run 70 miles in 1 day? Because like London to Manchester is like, what is it? It's not that far, really. 100 and something miles.
I don't know. I'm going to Google it now.
Yeah.
London to Manchester. Walking is 178 miles. It's all right.
Yeah. A few days.
Like a couple of park runs, isn't it?
Well, after doing two back-to-back 100Ks,
yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
It's not going to be too much. But I want to do that. But I think they've decided they want to do less. But to raise money for, it's like a lot of these big companies. They have like the their charity groups, and Herbalife do work with. They have these things called Casa Herbalives, which are basically helps less fortunate children with making sure they get the right amount of right nutrition and stuff all around the world. We have two or three in the UK. Works with, I think, Action for Children, is it? I think that's what the charity, one of the charities. Mm-hmm. I think that's the charity here. We have one actually, funny enough, not far from me. So be to raise money for them. So, gives me a good reason to do it. And it's running. Normally they do bikes. I'm not a bike. I don't like to cycle really that much.
Fair enough. Andy, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to tell the good people what it's like working with me as your coach.
Now, that's a very hard question to answer. It's brilliant. I think what I liked about when we first contacted, what was it? I sent you a message on Valentine's Day last year, wasn't it?
Oh, how romantic!
And you literally replied, and like I just an inquiry, and you replied that evening. I was like, that is impressive. Why weren't you doing something? You know, hadn't you got plans?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember.
Do you remember now?
Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm just really sad.
I think we both were. I was like looking for a running coach, and you were clearly not going out.
No, we're way past all that shit now. We'd rather just sit in and
get a takeaway, right?
Yeah, have a McDonald's or something.
No, and then obviously we had the Zoom call, which went a bit wrong because my reception was rubbish. We ended up doing it over the phone, if you remember, because where I was working had the rubbish. But I think straight away, I felt very comfortable with you, and I felt we sort of clicked. I think that's important, right? With any, whenever you're working with someone closely and with coaching.
I think
it's understanding where people are, really.
Yeah, the way I was kind of frame it is that all good coaches should be knowledgeable. You know, we're all pretty much going to get you to, ideally to your goal. You know, a good coach will get you to your goal. We might have some certain nuances about us in terms of the way we program your training or whatever it might be, or certain beliefs around certain pieces of evidence. But ultimately, like, the most important thing is the coach-athlete relationship. That for me is absolutely the most important. You know, there's no good working with the best coach in the world if they're a total dick.
Yeah. No. And, you know, and then I think, you know, the difference between, obviously, the two marathons with it, following a generic plan that they give you as part of your signing up to a marathon. And I definitely didn't finish all the runs. I definitely got confused. What does this mean? What does that mean? how am I going to know what pace I'm going to be running at and all that malarkey, because you don't get that. And I think that is definitely one of the big things about, you know, with obviously with you is, A, any questions you have, you're never far from the end of a WhatsApp message. And you know, obviously you can't always reply straight away, but you never take that long to reply generally, unless you're on holiday, which is understandable.
Exactly.
Well, you're trying to get away from the family, then, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm just going to the bar.
And the way obviously the weekly check-ins that you obviously used to do changed it a little bit recently. The way we do it now, which I think is actually really good. But you're also definitely there. You know, it's been a difficult last few months, and I think if I was trying to follow a generic plan for something now, and I were going, oh damn, I've lost 2 weeks. I have no idea how I'm meant to build back in. Whereas the benefit of having a coach, and you know, you especially, you're very open and very willing to change things. And I think you know one thing you do is when things do go wrong, you're very much a don't worry about it. It's not going to make much of a difference. I always remember, like, you know. There's been times when I'm too tired. I don't want to do one of the runs. I can't do one of the runs. And you say, missing one run ain't going to make any difference.
Not in the grand scheme of things, no.
Nah.
Yeah. Because the whole odd missed one.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, and I think that's the difference. You know, it's having exactly like I said, like the Herbalife thing, it's having that accountability. If I, you know, yesterday I didn't really fancy going through my 6 miles. Didn't really want to. But like, A, I knew I was going to talk to you today. B, we're on Wednesday, we'd be having our monthly video chat. It's like, I fucking missed this one. That was another one I missed. And it's like, I've got no real reason not to do it. I just don't fancy it, you know. So I went out and, you know what it's like. Sometimes the best runs, or the time you feel the best after a run, is on the run after the run you didn't want to do. And you know, yesterday I came home and I felt so much better for it. I'm so pleased that I did it. My energy levels lifted. That's the funny thing is, when you don't do anything, you feel really tired. As soon as you get out the door and you start running, or any form of exercise, it doesn't have to be running. Well, this is running podcast, and we are runners. and it just felt so good for it. But I really like how you changed it. Like, now, obviously, you don't do the weekly voice notes that you used to do. Obviously, we send you a message, and then you still generally follow up with those messages anyway each week. But I really like, I actually must admit that obviously this is going to be the second monthly Zoom chat that we're going to have. But I like that, because I think you get a bit more in depth into the training for that period of time. Yeah. And is, you know, I think partly one of the reasons why you said you wanted to change was the fact you, like if you're just doing a general bog standard base week, there's not going to be much to talk about in that week, is there?
No, that's the thing. I mean, I am still doing the voice notes to people when it's needed. But if it's just a bog standard base week where we're just building up some miles, there's not anything particularly specific going on. What I'd rather do is have that training data coming in over a period of time, and then we get on a call. I mean, I say to all you guys a monthly one-to-one, but I also say, do you know what? Andy, if you just wanted to get on the phone, because you're like, Nick, can we just talk about something? You know where I am. I'm always here.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
very, 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 very rare, usually just when I'm on holiday, you know, do we not speak every week? You know, I was talking, and that's one of the things I really based Maximum Mileage on, was I wanted that communication, that, you know, that connection between the people I coach. It's not just, you know, here's your training plan, go out and do some running. It's actually, can we work together? Can we converse? Could I have a, you know, an honest conversation with you? You know, if something wasn't quite going the right way, let's say, you know, you were just missing loads of runs because you couldn't be bothered. You know, you know that I would have a fairly honest conversation with you, and it would be like, come on, Andy, you know, I'm not going to gloss over this and go, oh, don't worry, you've missed another one. It's okay.
You're still going to run Manchester in 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about it. You know, I'm going to be quite honest with you. And that's, that was something I always wanted to pride myself on. So, Andy,
I think you do it very well.
No, thank you. No, it's been great talking to you, Andy. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for asking me.
No problem at all. Like I say, I thought your story of how you've, you know, gone from where you were to where you are now, running, you know, 100 odd kgs to 100 kms, you know, it's a pretty cool story. So thank you, Andy.
Thanks for listening to the Maximum Mileage Running Podcast.
You can find more out about us at MaximumMileageCoaching.com. If you think you need help with your running and you think that either myself or Faye could be the coach for you, then drop us an inquiry. No obligation whatsoever, and we'll have a chat with you about your running. And there's plenty of resources on the website as well. And don't forget, you can join us on the Maximum Mileage Running Podcast Facebook group. Until next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.